This is a vessel. It is a tube or a canal that moves stuff. And it's also a person into whom some quality, like godly characteristics, are infused into. That's you. That's me. That's each one of us. But to make it a little clearer, I brought some things here. Okay? I have some straws and a couple balloons. So first, what I'm going to do is I'll get my bottle of water. These balloons pretty much look the same, except this one's got some black marking on it, right? And the straws look the same, right? They're in the container. So here's a vessel that holds air. Well, it doesn't look like it's working. It's not going to help very much. Sorry, George. All right. So I got this straw. Sorry, George. You put the straw in the water. Well, I'm getting some water. But I'm getting a lot more air, which means I'm going to burp. So be prepared for that. Okay? So then we have this balloon that I wrote on. Those are vessels. Well, that didn't take much time at all. This is a holy vessel. A holy vessel of honor. We've got a little cross on the side there, and then it says you, because you are a holy vessel of honor. And then we have this straw and a bottle of water. Stick that in. That's good. That's a good vessel. There's no holes in that vessel, and I get exactly what I want with no air, which is very good for me and you. So I bring that up because there are vessels of honor, as stated in the word, and then there's vessels of dishonor. And you need to know, and I'm sure you will know by the end of today, that you all, each and every one of you, are vessels of honor. Amen? Turn to Deuteronomy 14:2. If you want to make note of it, we're also going to go to Romans 11. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to Mark. And we're also going to go to 1 Peter. So 1 Peter is one that we're going to spend some time in, Romans 11 and 2 Timothy 2. But we're going to start off with Deuteronomy 14:2. And it says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God." Holy. That's you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "That's me." Holy. Not to be confused with the holy balloon or the holy straw. That's a different kind of holy. That's not you. You're holy. The one that said sacred, dedicated, and consecrated to God. That's you. So you are holy. Out of all the peoples of the surface of the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. He's chosen you. His own special treasure. Each and every one of you are his own special treasure. I need to stop for a moment. And Pastor Chris used to say, we need to say la. He's a musician. He goes through Psalms. And he says, we need to say la that for a minute. So we need to say la that for a minute. A holy, special treasure. That's what he says about you. He chose you. In your darkness, in your muck, your mire, your clay, and your sins, he chose you. And he set you apart to be holy unto him. He chose each one of you. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you were, what you did, how long you did it. It doesn't matter that you sinned this morning when the kids wouldn't get ready quick enough and you had to yell at them. It doesn't matter, because it still does not change the fact that you're a holy treasure in his eyes. In his eyes matters. In his eyes. I can't think of anyone else on this planet that I would prefer to be considered holy, set apart, and a special treasure in their eyes, other than the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of everything that exists in the universe. And that's what you are. It's exactly who you are. So look at Romans 11. Romans 11 in verse 5 says, so too, at the present time, that's now, there is a remnant chosen by grace. A remnant. A remnant means something was completely destroyed, is completely wiped out, kind of like the flood during Noah, kind of like a battle where everything is wiped out and destroyed, and there's something that remains. And that something is you. You're a remnant. What remains? You don't remain because you got really nice shoes, and you don't remain because you got really nice hair. You remain because he chose you to be holy, a holy vessel, a special treasure, his. So you remain, and he chose you. Further on, it says in verse 11, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. To make Israel envious. Well, as I was studying Romans, and I had been studying Romans for a really long time, it seems, it really hit me that the Gentiles and Israel, they really butt heads a lot. And it was a pride kind of a thing. Like, oh, we're the chosen people. Who are you? Sludge. Move to the side. We're God's chosen people. We're the remnant, chosen people. Not you, us. Why? Because my last name ends in Levi? I don't know. My last name ends in Dan? Maybe. The tribes of Israel? We're the chosen people. But then all throughout Romans chapter 11, he comes in and he says, yeah, a special treasure, but you don't got to be born into it. You're not a vessel because your mom was a Christian or grandpa was a pastor. You're not a Christian because you're a really good person. And I know that's tough for a lot of people, because a lot of people see people who are not believers and they're like, man, look at them. Look at that dress, $1,200. Look at her nails. They're always so perfect. They got little white tips on the end. Look at them. And here I am, God's remnant. My nails are all broken because I've been wiping noses and fixing shoes and buckling, fixing sandboxes and sandals. And I've been working hard, breaking concrete. But look at them and look at me, and you're comparing yourself like Israel compared the Gentiles. And then God shakes you and he says, no, you are mine and I chose you because from the beginning of time when the garden was created until eternity, he loves you and he considers you his holy, consecrated vessel, able to carry something. Yes, you are worthy. You're able to carry something. You're carrying all kinds of great stuff. You're carrying the good news. I know that there's been, I can't help it. Sorry, George. I know that there's things that we treasure on earth. There's lots of different things that we treasure, right? We treasure houses, boats, cars, antiques. We treasure heirlooms because great, 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 great grandpa left it to me and now I have it and I have it somewhere stored away. I do. I have mine in a chest. My grandfather made this thing that he gave to the Pope, and it was how he saw two different types of people, kind of like the Israelites and the Gentiles. And now when he passed on, they gave it to me. It's kind of weird looking, but I put it in a chest, and it's in the attic, and that's where it stays. Some days, Tommy has seen it before. My little kids haven't seen it yet, but I'll open it up and say, look, great, 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 great grandpa made this. It's some treasure. It's got meaning. Your wallet is a treasure. People are treasures. Dare I say that you treasure someone more than you treasure God? I thought I was doing that with my wife one time, and then in a dream, he came to me, and he took her away. I woke up in the middle of the night sobbing. And this is before I really started crying all the time when Gianna got married. But I only cried 3 or 4 times, and this was the 4th time or something. And it was like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. And my wife wakes up, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay, you're gone. No, I'm right here, I'm not gone. No, you're gone. God said I used you as an idol and I treasured you and he took you. And I was crying. And she's like, no, honey, I'm right here, it's okay. But God taught me something in that dream, that I may have elevated my wife a little more than I should have. Although it's great to, you know, encourage each other. It's great to consider your wife who she is, Proverbs 31, woman. But when you make her an idol and you put her before God, that's what he taught me from that dream. Those are treasures. What about your phone? All of you have got one in your pocket right now or on your lap. How do you treasure it? I know what I do. I got the OtterBox case so that it can't get scratched or broken. I could drop it from, what did the thing say? 11 feet with the OtterBox and it won't break. I do things to my treasures to preserve them because they're important. They have value to me and they have value to you. Think about what you do to preserve those treasures. The many that you have. I tell my kids, don't go in my wallet. In my wallet, there's some cash, there's some cards, there's some documents that are very important. I tell them, don't go there. Why? Because I'm trying to protect those things that have value to me. Now, if we do all those things to these things that we treasure, how much more does God do that for you? His treasure, his holy vessel. He protects you. He's given you an OtterBox. Am I allowed to plug like some name brand stuff like that? Whatever, I did. So he's given one to you around your whole body. And then he said, guess what? Because you know me, you ain't going to drop from 11 feet. You're going to drop from hell. And you're going to go into eternity to heaven and live forever. That's how much I love you. That's how much I treasure you. That's how much I'll protect you. That's how much I care. That's how much I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you an inheritance because you are a holy vessel. It's very interesting. He did it for you. He did it for you. He chose you. And he considers that's who you are. Would you sacrifice your child for your treasure? All of us say, no. I have 7 of them. And there's nothing on this earth that I'm going to sacrifice, no matter the cost or value of what it is, one of my kids for. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to jump in front of a bus for them. I'm going to be there to run and jump and catch them. I'm going to be the one to protect them. I'm going to be the one to make sure that they make it through, because God's got a special plan for each one of them. And he's told me, this is one of my kids. I'm putting them in your house. Take care of them, because I got a good plan for them. That's a big responsibility. But I'm not going to sacrifice one of them for any one of the treasures on earth. God did. He sacrificed his son for you, a treasure, a holy vessel. He sacrificed his only son for you. That's beautiful. That's a gift. That's our God. Turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Ready for every good work. If you cleanse yourself. Now you ask me, yeah, that's great, but how? It says that you're not supposed to do it yourself. You're supposed to give your heart to Jesus, and he does the cleaning for you, right? I can't clean my act up before I come to Christ. It doesn't work. Trust me. I tried. Many of us have tried. But it doesn't work, because you can't. He's the one who's got to cleanse you. It's quite easy. And it's not a mystery any longer. The way to not be the dishonorable vessel any longer. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is God and he rose him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, some people hear that and they're like, believe in your heart. Yeah, look, I believe in him just like I believe in George Washington. George Washington existed, so Jesus existed. No, it's a little deeper than that. In Mark 1, verse 11, it says, repent and believe. So you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you repent of your sins, boom, you're cleansed. A new start, a new beginning. The old man is gone. Gone. The only thing that hinders you from that point forward is your thoughts. That's the only thing that holds you back. Because guess what? His thoughts for you are that you are at that point perfect, clean, a new start, a new creation, baptized with his love, cleaned, new life. That's his thoughts for you. It's simple. The Bible puts it in such a way that a child can understand it. Trust me, I know. Every week downstairs, I try to get them to believe it and understand it. And then you hear them say it when they come home. Pastor Tom said. Or they just do something that's really wacky. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Look at that. Yeah, Pastor Tom said us to do it, but don't say anything. We're supposed to do it without telling you. I tell them that all the time. It's easy for a child to believe. But if you get your head out of the way, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, repent, boom, you're no longer a vessel of dishonor. You are miraculously, instantaneously transformed into a vessel of honor, holy, holy, sacred, consecrated for his glory, for every good work. That's a gift. It's a gift. Here are some examples of dishonorable vessels. Like the straw with the holes and the balloon with the holes, dishonorable vessels, they can't carry much of anything. And here's some examples. Now, when I was making the notes for this, I was at St. Peter's Hospital waiting for my mother. And as I'm praying, the Holy Spirit's moving, a lot of real life thoughts came into my head. And I wrote them down. This is good stuff. A drug runner ship. A ship is a vessel, And you know those ships that go across, like Miami Vice kind of stuff? Da-na-na-na-na. You know, a drug runner ship is a bad vessel. Drug dealers, pimps, human traffickers, dictators, abortionists, pirate ships, a nuclear bomb, total destruction of all life. Now, some would argue and say a nuclear bomb's not bad if you're hitting it towards the right people. Well, newsflash, even amongst the right people, we read all throughout the Bible, there's still godly people there. So what it does is it destroys all life. Indiscriminately. Gone. Death. Those vessels of dishonor are reckless. They're hidden. They are rigid. They're immovable. They are scared. Deadly. They carry and bring death. They break under pressure. But here is some examples of vessels of honor, real life examples. Okay? The first one I put down is veterans. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. All the veterans, go ahead and take a stand up. You know, Steve, stand up. You're a veteran. That's me too. Okay? Stand up. These men, and ladies, if I saw one, okay, they put their lives on the line. Some of them did not see war. I didn't see war. The Gulf War was going on. But they were willing. They were willing to take a gun and get on the front line and jump in front of a bullet for someone next to us. Especially those guys that got Purple Hearts, that got injured in battle. The ones that said, bullets, whatever. I'm going to save that guy. I'm picking him up. Those are vessels of honor. They're to be honored. They're to be remembered because they protected and brought forth life. So we salute them. We memorialize the ones that have gone on and graduated to heaven. But we do salute them and we honor them. A pitcher of water is a good vessel. A battleship is a good vessel. A fishing boat. Even though the fishing boat might be stinky, it's still a good vessel because it's bringing food for people to have life. A beautiful vase. You can see them over there carrying the flowers. Your blood vessels are vessels of honor. God put them in our bodies to carry blood, nutrients, oxygen and life to your body so that you can breathe and live and do every good work that he has planned for you to do. A doula or midwife, like my sister Akira, they bring life. Those are vessels of honor. She told me a story recently. She was planning on making food for the men's breakfast. And that night, one of the ladies went into labor. She called me the next morning. She said, Pastor Tom, I was up all night. This lady didn't even deliver, and I was right there with her. I don't know if I'm going to have the eggs there in time. I said, don't sweat it. It's okay. You're delivering life. It's more than eggs. A vessel of honor, all those beautiful treasures, vessels of honor. And then at the last one I put is you. You fit right in there with the battleship and the fishing boat. Some of you are smelly more than others. And the blood vessels and the doula and the veterans. You fit right there in that same list. Why? Because he chose you to be the vessel of honor and a special treasure. He chose you to be his. That's why. Those things are orderly, open, organized. They are honest and careful. They prevent pain. They're flexible. They're team members on a team, like my son Jonathan. I got to plug him here for a minute. Last night on his baseball team, they won the sectional championship. And they were vessels of honor. They were vessels of honor. They didn't lose their composure. They were losing 1-0 the entire game. The entire game. And I watched them because I coached most of them when they were little. So I watched them and I kind of stand next to the dugout and I shout little things to them. And I watched their attitudes and their words. And they conducted themselves 1-0 in this championship. All those innings, they conducted themselves with self-control and honor. Hit the ball, out again. Hit the ball, out again. Strike out again. They didn't come in the dugout, throw the helmets and yell and curse. They conducted themselves like vessels of honor. And it's that reason that I believe is why God honored them with the win in the bottom of the last inning. I didn't know it was going to happen. 1-0, I'm like, oh, what a loss. 1-0 in the championship. They won 2-1. That's all that's needed. That's all that's needed. You don't need 15-1. But because I believe, because they conducted themselves like vessels of honor for those whole innings that they were losing, God blessed them and said, this is your game. This is your game. And that's what he has to say to you too, even under pressure. This is your game. You're a vessel of honor. It may not look that way right now. It may look like you don't have enough money for gas again. It may look like you don't have nice clothes. It may look like you don't have enough time to spend with this one or that one because you have to put in more hours. But guess what? The bottom of the last inning is coming. I don't know when that bottom's going to come for you, but it is going to come. Why? Because you're his vessel of honor. You're his special treasure. He doesn't break his promises. He doesn't say something that's a lie. You are his, amen, forthright, first, done. And you will get your bottom of the inning. It might be this afternoon. It might be next week, next month, next year, next 50 years. I don't know, but the bottom of that inning is going to come for you too, amen? It's a promise, and it's going to happen. 1 Peter 2:9. But you, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. His own possession. Not demon possession here. We're talking about possession where he owns you. A special treasure, holy vessel kind of possession. Why? Why did he choose you? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of a darkness and into his marvelous light. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He has called you out of your darkness and into the marvelous light. That right there tells you, whatever, 1-0. Whatever. He has called me out of those innings into his marvelous light. He has called me into his marvelous light. He's chosen me a royal priesthood, and he will keep his word. He'll keep his word. He'll keep his promises because I am a holy vessel. I am a treasure. I am protected like no other treasure that exists on the universe today. I am his. He chose me. He chose me. So how and where can you be a vessel of honor, a holy vessel, a royal priesthood? Because honestly, it's not just here. It's not just here. Y'all look great. Y'all dress real nice. It's really good to see everybody's smiling faces and to hug you. But this is not the place that God intended you to keep on your holy treasure protection only. That's right. This is not it. This is not it. The places that he wants you to go be a vessel, moving one thing from one place to the other, that stuff he wants you to move is all that great stuff he put inside of you. All of who he is that he deposited inside each one of you. Grace, love, mercy, joy, peace, joy, 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 peace, joy, joy. All of that stuff that he put inside of you, mercy, compassion, all of that stuff he put inside of you, that's the stuff. That's the stuff he wants to move through you. Like we were trying to move the stuff through the straw. Those are the things that are supposed to move through you. You, the holy vessel, the treasure. Those things are what he wants to move through you. And he wants you to not only move through here. Now, Dan gave a great testimony of how you moved all those things through yourself and poured it out on those two lovely folks. You moved it through to them. And the result of it is, he came up and he testified, oh my goodness, I've never been in a church where I've seen that kind of Jesus moved. But this is not where it stays. You don't know Dan. I know Dan a little bit. He comes to my house, life group. This is not where it stays for him. Dan is out there on the streets. He's out there on the streets. He's evangelizing. He's telling people about the greatness of God. One of the first things he did for me was he made an acronym of my last name that shouts out loud who God is. He's a gift, and he's to be used not just right here. He takes it out there. And that's where you need to move the stuff from. You need to move all that great stuff from you out to the people that you see everywhere. Everywhere. Walmart. You need to, waiting in line at Walmart, you need to be that vessel. Don't be the one with the holes. Don't be the one with the holes. Be that one that's really good and gets that good stuff flowing where it needs to be. When you're in your car, when you're alone, when you're in traffic, I'm in traffic a lot. My office is down in Westchester near New York City. I'm in traffic a lot. And sometimes I'm like, oh, it takes me exactly an hour and 22 minutes to get to my office from my driveway. And every single time there's a traffic holdup, now it's an hour and 30 minutes. Oh, now I'm going to get there at 8:02. That's okay. I got 7 minutes. You fall within that 15 minutes, right? Oh, no. There's another holdup. Oh, it must be a bad one because we're stopped. The traffic's not moving. And then when you get there, there's nothing. There's no car rolled over. There's no fire engines. There's no police cars. There's nothing. So everything inside you like, great, now I'm late. Wonderful. Vessel, where's the holes? I'm being the vessel with the holes right now. But that's not what you do. I may have done that a couple of times. I don't know. I'm sorry. But a lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, okay, well, obviously there's something that he's protecting me from. I'm his treasure. I'm a holy vessel, and there's something he's protecting me from. How many times have you had that happen to you, and you get to that place, and you see a car crashed or whatever it may be? It wasn't you. He delayed you on purpose. Now, the one holdup was nothing. It was just congestion. Well, he brought the congestion on purpose because 10 more minutes down the line, there was three cars hit into each other, and that could have been you. But no, he protected you with traffic. Oh, it's hard to swallow sometimes, but trust me. Take your time. It's okay to be late. My mother said to me, why are we always late? Because, you know, I take her to all her appointments all the time now. And I'm like, it's okay, Ma. She's not used to being late. She's the kind of person that's 15 minutes early to every appointment. Doctor here, doctor there, eye appointment, whatever it may be. Until I had to get her to the appointments. And we stroll in 5-10 minutes late every time. And I'm like, it's okay, Ma. It's okay. We'll get there. Because other things come up in life. And they delay you. And that's okay. You'll get there. We were 40 minutes late to one appointment last week in Hudson. And the doctor looked at her and said, oh, it's so good to see you. I'm like, you see, Ma? No big deal. That was 40 minutes. I don't recommend that, but still. You could be that vessel of honor, that holy vessel of honor, in your living room while you're going to get the mail. And how about this one? When you're online or on an app, that's right. You could still be the vessel of honor, that treasure, where you are alone with that device in your hand. I happened to, when I got saved 23 years ago, that's what got me. It wasn't a cell phone. I don't even know if they were possible back then. But it was a computer screen. And I was an overnight watch security guy in this empty building. And I went on the computer, and I went into these chat rooms. And I'm, you know, I've always worked with kids or whatever. And I went into the cartoon chat rooms. And somehow, I got a hold of a cartoon chat room. They met all the time, and it was they were talking about the gospel. And one thing they told me, one thing that came up, they said, are you saved? I'm like, of course I'm saved. I know Jesus. I was an altar boy. Of course I'm saved. But do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the baby in the manger, died on the cross, rose again. Yeah. And then they would say, yeah, but do you know Jesus? And sometimes I get mad because I really didn't know him. I didn't accept him yet. But God used that avenue to tell me, you really don't know me. I know you may think you did. I know you went to church and you did this sacrament and that sacrament, but you don't know me. And he used the electronic chat room to soften my heart to get born again. I didn't know anything about being born again. I thought I was good. But he used it, and he can use it for you online with that phone now that has, I don't know, 40, 50, 120 apps. This chat app, this place, that place, text message, Facebook, whatever it may be. You can be a holy vessel of honor, even by yourself, when you're on the World Wide Web. It's a good place to go. It doesn't have to be bad. It's a good place to go. Guess why? Because you're there. You're there, and you're what makes it good, because Christ would make you good. He's what makes you good. And everywhere you go, you could be that vessel of honor. Everywhere you go, online, with the apps, chatting, whatever it may be, you can. So what you need to do is, and my brother Kevin, he's got some stuff to hand out to y'all. Now, I had these wonderful props here, the balloons and the straws. But he's got these things that he's going to hand out to you. And I want you to hold them in your hand for a moment. Go ahead, you can start handing them out. I got them for you. It's a gift. While I was in the hospital waiting for my mother, and I was writing this message and really connecting with the Holy Spirit, and I was praying, and I was like, oh God, give me something more. And he keeps giving me another idea, and I'm jotting it down feverishly, trying to get this message. He gave me the message of this mirror, this idea for the mirror. And immediately after he did, I was like, is this even possible? I am not going to Walmart to look for these mirrors. Well, I went to Amazon. Oops, am I supposed to say them? Well, whatever. And so I got these little mirrors, and I said, oh, and it said it'll be here by tomorrow. I said, perfect. Tomorrow is good. So I ordered them. They all came on Saturday, and here they are. They're here for you. That's pretty amazing that they got here, but it's an important gift that I'm giving you to reinforce this message. This message that Jesus Christ, he died for you. His Father sacrificed him for the treasure for you. He sacrificed his only son for you, a holy vessel of honor, a special treasure that is his. And when you open that mirror and you see it, you might forget sometimes when you're in traffic or stuck in line at Walmart, and you open that mirror, hi, and you open the mirror, somewhere on the mirror, I think with the help of my wonderful assistant, Hannah Hoyt, and her little friends, minions, they wrote VH on the mirror. Vessel of honor. Vessel of honor. So when you look in that mirror, and it doesn't matter what your hair looks like, and it doesn't matter if you've got makeup on or not, it doesn't even matter if you have hair or not. You look in that mirror, you see VH, and you're reminded you are a vessel of honor. And all of what Christ has deposited in you, he wants to reflect in and through you and move through you like the stuff moves through the straw. He wants to move that stuff through you because you are a special treasure. You are a vessel of honor. And he's going to choose you to move his message, his gospel, of his son, Jesus Christ, that he sacrificed. He wants you to move that message of love and sacrifice and move that message from where he deposited it inside you to every single breathing person that you bump into. Not just in line, not just in traffic, not at work, not just in your living room with your kids, not here, not just on the streets walking down Warren Street, not just on Flag Day. Although Flag Day is a good opportunity to be that vessel, a very good opportunity. I encourage all of you to be a part of that because that means the rest of Hudson and the surrounding areas get to see and experience everything Dan and Jane shared, that they shared from seeing right here in this room. Everybody in Hudson gets to see it and experience it while you march down that parade field. You're smiling and you're handing out candies and you're praying for people on the sidelines. They get to see that beautiful treasure, that vessel of honor of all that beautiful stuff God put inside of you. And they get to see it and taste and see how good he is because you are obedient. And you use that vessel, that honorable vessel, well, and move the truth to them. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for choosing us, for choosing me, a broken, prideful little boy from Brooklyn, to be changed. To be a new creation and become your treasure. I thank you for surrounding me with treasures that are brighter and more beautiful than anything we see on earth because of who you are. Thank you for hope, joy, peace, and the truth that you'll never leave us and you have prepared us for every good work because we're your possession, your holy vessel of honor. Thank you for being our dad and being our friend and our savior. We're ready, we're yours, and we will reflect and move everything you put inside us to everyone around us. Because you give us what we need to make it happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys very much. Again, don't forget Flag Day help and the church picnic. And we'll see you guys right back here again on Sunday. Amen. Amen.